Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. These days, we have prenuptial agreements to divvy up the loot when a marriage fails. Few take seriously the promises they make when they tie the knot and exchange the rings. Today, why marriage, in God's eyes, is a lifetime deal, come what may. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a four-part series on Till Death Do Us Part, Keys to Success in Marriage. He comes now to talk about those vows mean something.
Just look over my shoulder for a moment and let me read you this letter. We've been married for 20 years with small children. In the past few years, we fell into debt. I spent a great deal of time away from home making money. Now that we are doing better, my wife wants out of the marriage because she feels that I neglected her emotionally, which I have, because I was so focused on work. What troubles me is that she wants to put space between us. She wants to get out of the home to, quote, find herself. I'm afraid what this might mean because she's on the internet a lot of her time, corresponding with a man she dated before we were married. She's helping him with his issues. I'm afraid that the old relationship might be revived. She doesn't want to go for marriage counseling, and she's quite defensive about this in her decision to leave. Change some of the details, and it's a story that could be told 1,000 times. A man leaves a marriage because he finds someone else, because he is looking for a connection. And he's in a marriage that he doesn't enjoy. And wives, apparently, mothers, if you please, are leaving their marriages just as much as the men. And the intention of the message is to discuss the issue of marriage, but in such a way that, believe me, it will apply to those of you who are single for sure. But it most assuredly will apply to all of us who are married or who are thinking about being married. I'd like to begin today by giving you 5 myths that I think we believe. These are myths that I've come up with. I'm sure that they exist elsewhere, but this is how I see it. 5 myths that we believe that really is devastating our homes and our marriages as people walk out of relationships. First of all, my happiness is number one. My happiness is number one. I'm miserable in this desert, a man told me, and now I've found an oasis. I've found another woman with whom I have this connection, and you are telling me to go back into the desert. My happiness is more important than faithfulness. By the way, let me simply say this, that according to God, faithfulness is more important than happiness. And if you happen to be happy while you're being faithful, so much the better. But can you imagine Jesus saying to himself, well, I'm interested in my happiness. The Bible says that he did not please himself. Faithfulness is more important than my happiness. My happiness more important than God, my husband, and my precious children. My happiness, I need fulfillment. It's a myth. Second, finding the right person will give me real fulfillment. Finding the right person will give me real fulfillment. Finally, I found somebody I can connect with. It's as if there was a piece of the puzzle that was missing, and now I have found the missing piece. It's not sexual. We can just talk for hours, and somehow he is tapping within me something that I never even knew existed. I need to think about this. I need to leave the marriage to get my act together, which in reality usually is step number one for the divorce that is being contemplated. It's no wonder that we meet people that we can connect with, by the way. David Carter, who has written a couple of books and spends his life counseling couples and getting them back together after infidelity, said that the average marriage is like a person is on the world, on the earth, and when you look at the moon, you'll always see the same side of the moon. Sometimes you see part of it, sometimes you see all of it, but always the same side. And there's a back part of the moon that we never see. In the very same way, there are many marriages that never tap into the other side of their partner. Here's a man who is very busy. He doesn't give his wife the time of day. She can't talk to him. When she's talking, he's not listening anyway. And suddenly she meets a man who just adores her and who loves to listen and enjoys her accent and takes care of so many details. Finally, I have found the man of my dreams. I have found my soulmate, she says. Of course, after she divorces and remarries, she discovers something very, very bitter. If it is true that 40% of all marriages today end in divorce, it is also true that more than 60% of second marriages end in divorce. And suddenly this wonderful connection turns ugly. You know the man who used to be here at the Moody Church 20 or 30 years ago, long time ago, who told me, "I'm leaving my wife because I'm in a desert and I found an oasis"? He wrote me a 10-page letter years later. What a letter. I still have it to this day. Detailing the fact that his oasis turned out not only to be worse than the desert, but it was actually a poisoned oasis. And many of these relationships that begin so well when you get to know the person and now suddenly you're working through, they turn ugly and spiteful. But you can't see it at the moment, because that person is meeting my needs in a way that my needs have never been met before. It's a myth. There's a third myth, and that is, I can still be a caring person even though I've got this thing going on the side. Like a letter I read this week that occurred in a newspaper, I think it was, where a brother said that his brother confided in him that he was having an affair and saying, "Whatever you do, don't tell my wife because I just love my wife and children." How many lies can you talk yourself into? Received another letter some time ago from someone who said, "You know, the guy I want to marry, he's a wonderful Christian. But he continues to keep in touch with other women and always talks about how beautiful they are. And he knows that it hurts me, but he keeps doing it and tells me that he adores me alone." Oh, isn't that sweet? Listen, if he adores you, he'd be glad to say no to those other women, I would think. It's a myth, but we love these myths, these lies. Another one is, I can manage the consequences. I can manage the consequences. God will forgive me, 1 John 1:9. Like some students who say, you can, 1 John 1:9, you can 1:9 it. God will forgive you. Remember talking to a pastor many, many years ago who left his wife for another woman. And I'll never forget these words. He said to me, "Oh, sure, I'm doing wrong, I'm sinning, but remember, even David got his Bathsheba." I thought, yeah, that's true, David did get his Bathsheba. And along with it, he got grief for his family and grief for his whole kingdom. Yes, God did forgive him because God is gracious, but I'll tell you, do you know how long the consequences of a broken marriage go on? Not just on earth, but the consequences have ripples for all eternity. You can manage it. God won't let you manage it. There are certain built-in consequences that are way beyond your control in the lives of your children, in the life of your wife, in the life of your husband, whatever, and those boomerang forever. Wow. So another one is, nothing will ever change. Nothing will ever change. David Carter says that many marriages are like windshield wipers. Everybody, each of the partners plays their dance. They never are really intimate. They're never really on the same page. They argue about the same things year after year after year. The same issues come up. They're never resolved. And everybody knows what the rules of the game are. You stay on your side, you stay on your side. I push your buttons, you push my buttons. And like windshield wipers, they just keep going on and on and on and on. And he will never change, and she will never change. It's a myth. People have changed. If I have time today, when I get to the end of this message, I'm going to tell you about a couple that I had given all hope up for, and they changed. God does change people. It costs something, though. It costs a sense of honesty and humility, and it's a price most people aren't willing to pay. But because they don't pay it, they miss a tremendous blessing. That's why there are two parts to this message. Next time when I preach on the topic, I'm going to talk about the rewards people miss because they don't work through a difficult marriage. If you're in a difficult marriage today, God has rewards for you that you are going to miss if you bail out. That's why it's absolutely necessary that you be here next time to hear part number two of this very brief series of messages. Now you say, well, Pastor Lutzer, what are you going to speak on today? I'm going to speak about the common termites that destroy marriages. And we're going to be turning to the Word of God to see this. You know, whenever you hear of a tire that blew out, you say, well, you know, the tire just blew out. Well, the experts will tell us that there have been cracks in that tire for years, and then suddenly there was a blowout. When a wife leaves a marriage, when a husband leaves a marriage, there have already been a series of sins that have been committed and a series of sins that have been justified before it gets to that point. So we're going to talk about those termites today, those sins that lead to the dissolution of a marriage. You say, well, aren't there times when somebody should divorce? Well, you know, one could say that there are times when divorce is allowed. One could even say that perhaps sometimes in extreme cases it's a necessity. But there are two things that should never be done prematurely. One is embalming, and the other is to get a divorce. All right? Now, what I want you to do today is to take your Bibles and turn to the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, where we have some words from the Apostle Paul. Ephesians chapter 5, like everything else, there are answers in God's Word. Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." First of all, number one, we should live a life of love. Write that down. Live a life of love. That's what we should do. Well, my dear friend, I certainly hope that you tune in next time as we talk about those termites. I'm going to be giving you some cracks in that tire I was talking about. And what I'm interested in is helping couples to understand why it is that they're having problems, to talk about the suspicions and the distrust that sometimes develop within marriages and how that can be repaired, and then, of course, to bring about harmony in a relationship. So you stay tuned. And at the end of this broadcast, you're going to be given information as to how you can receive these messages.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing Those Vows Mean Something, the second of four messages on Till Death Do Us Part, Keys to Success in Marriage. Next time, more on the real meaning of commitment. Our series on Till Death Do Us Part can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.